Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate the opportunity to come this way each and every week at this same time. And we want to take just a moment, if you are in the listening area, to invite you to come be with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located just outside of Boone on Baird's Creek Road, and we're 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. So if you're leaving Boone, you would go towards, you take Highway 105 South. That's towards Fosco, but we're not all the way out there. But anyway, we've got lots of opportunities to come out during the week, but we'll just mention a couple of them. Sunday morning, Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m., then our 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service. Of course, this Sunday is Easter, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Been thinking about that, so we're going to have a special service in. Looking forward to that, and wanted to mention that. It's good to see Noah today. Hope you're having a good day.
I am. I'm happy to be here, as always. And always love coming in to help out here on the radio broadcast, and we do want to say welcome to all those listening in. Those are listening in right here on AM 1450, WATA, 96.5 FM out of Boone, North Carolina. Our listeners on AM 690, WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And a couple of the radio stations have expanded a little bit, so we may have picked up some new listeners in some new areas. And so we're always thankful for that. It's good to hear about that when it happens. But we're going to just continue on with our study. We're getting ready to wind this up. We've been looking at the subject of education for quite some time now, 22 lessons, 22 studies we've done in this. Or 21, today will be 21, I think. And what we want to look at today, and I've mentioned that I wanted to eventually get back to this and spend a whole radio broadcast on the influence of evolution on our educational system, but not only on our educational system, but in society as a whole. And so how evolution has affected our society, how the teaching of evolution influenced our educational system from the elementary all the way through the college. Actually, it doesn't start at the elementary. It starts at the colleges and universities and comes down and is implemented into the high schools and the middle schools and the elementary schools. But we mentioned several times that during the 1800s in our country, very transitional time period. Lots of good things, lots of not so good things were going on in the 1800s. And many of these things going on all at the same time. It was a time for great revivals. There was several revivals throughout America during the 1800s, all throughout the 1800s, even during the time period of the Civil War. So you think about the Civil War, and you think about a time of great destruction and heartache and lots of death and pain and suffering. But there was also a great revival, even among the troops, especially the Confederate troops. And so you had revivals, you had church growth, you had the very beginnings of what we might say modern missions. You had a lot of interest in going to other countries, getting the gospel out to other countries. You had, and we talked about this in the past couple of weeks, you had the establishment of many different colleges and universities that were started by churches and by Christian people. And so you had colleges, universities, and then on the other hand, you had some churches throughout our land that were starting to that you see the development of Unitarianism, which we talked about a little bit last week, which basically says man is not so bad; he just needs a little polishing up. You know, he just needs a little fixing up, and he'll be all right. You know, we had the introduction of that, or the development of that in churches. Liberal theology, higher criticism, all of these little, we might say, well, those are little things. We pretty much still believe the same. No, not really. These little things are not really little things. Unitarianism, liberal theology, higher criticism, all of these things, what it does is it places a question mark on God's word. Did God really say that? Is that what the Lord, you know, is that really trustworthy? Or did some, you know, and that's what that is. And by the way, that is how Satan came to Eve in the garden. And he said, yea, hath God said. And he put a question mark on God's word. And Satan has been in the business of doing that ever since. And so we had the introduction of these things in many of the mainline churches. We had the introduction of humanism in the colleges. We talked about John Dewey. We talked about the Humanist Manifesto. We talked about the introduction of the European schooling model. And I mentioned several weeks ago about how that we had an American educational system. Well, in the 1800s, our American educational system was gradually changed into a European educational system. The Prussian model was brought over to our country. And so where we had been Americanized by and through the influence of mainly Noah Webster, through the influence of these other men, John Dewey, Horace Mann, many others along those lines, our American model became a European model. I'm having a terrible time talking today. So we had that in the 1800s. And then along that same time period, we had the introduction of evolution and the origin of species. I know you've probably heard about that. You've heard about Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin was an Englishman. And so we talked about English and European things being brought into America, and actually not for our benefit, but to our detriment. And we'll point that out, what we're talking about when we talk about the theory of evolution. But Charles Darwin, and there were other educators, scientists, people who were on board with him, but he's really the first one to sort of put it all down on paper and put it out there for the masses to see. But Charles Darwin was born in 1809. He died in 1882, the 19th of April, 1882. And so he's got an anniversary of his death coming up. He was a naturalist. He was a geologist. He was a biologist. He was, at first, went to school to be trained to be a minister. But I do not believe Charles Darwin was a true believer, as far as we might think about being a born-again Christian. He said a lot of things. And even in his writings, he would use the Bible. And, you know, that's sort of reflective of that time period. I mean, they were raised and they were influenced different. But he said one time that he was not an atheist, but he was more in the frame of mind of an agnostic. And an agnostic is the belief that, well, I'm not going to say there is a God, and I'm not going to say there's not a God. That's basically what an agnostic is. So they say, well, you know, I just don't know. I'm not going to say for sure if there is or if there isn't. Where an atheist would say, no, there is no God. And so he's mostly famous for his work on the origin of species. And not going to go into a great detail about his life. His life is, you know, and some things about him are pretty interesting. And we definitely learn maybe why he come to the conclusion that he did. One of the things that I'll just mention quickly, he traveled throughout the world and took notes and observed. But as he came into contact with different people around the world in his travels, he had a problem with the presence of evil in the world. And then he had a little daughter that died, and that really what faith he did have. And here's the thing. He sent his children and his wife to church, and he wouldn't go. He went on a walk and out in nature, you know. But that really made him what little faith that he may have had really made him doubt. He just couldn't come to grips with why there's evil in the world, and if there was a God, why he allowed this and that. And so he had a lot of spiritual questions that were going on. And you know, a lot of times that does influence our education and what we believe and what we say that we believe. But for the first time in probably the history of the world, man had a semi-believable, now that's the way I'm going to phrase it, but he had some kind of framework that he could answer the question of how we came to be, how life got here minus God, without including Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so people were of that mindset, boy, they really accepted this. They really, you know, wow, here's the answer. Here's the answer to how we got here and why things are and all of these things. Of course, even the beliefs of evolution have changed since Charles Darwin, but that's the beginning. That's the foundation of it. But let me say that 1700 or 1800 years before Charles Darwin ever came on the scene and the theory of evolution, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had already described for us what the result of rejecting God would be. And make no mistake about it, that is what evolution is all about. It is about rejecting the idea of God. It is rejecting the idea of a creator. And I know that there are evolutionary deists and all of these things, but that's pretty rare in our day and time. And a lot of them at that time, they were actually what is called day age creationists, but I'm not going to get into all of that. But that is what is behind evolution. That is what is behind humanism. We are here. God did not put us here. We don't need God. They just as soon do away with anything and everything to do with God. But Paul had already described this 1700 years before. He'd already described what it was going to be like and what would happen when people rejected God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." Now, if you believe, if you have faith, it is easy to see God's hand in creation, in the world, in the order of creation, in the artistic, in the intricate things of life. I mean, I look at the world and I see there's a designer, there's a creator. There is order behind this, not disorder. We did not get here from a big bang, from a explosion. And the little things of life, they're clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God is saying that these that reject him, they're without excuse, because the abundance, the evidence is abundant all round about us. But he said this, he said, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." And this is where we get right down to it's a heart matter. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And this is the same passage of Scripture. It goes on down and it talks about a decay of morality. It talks about the end result being turned over to a reprobate mind. And that as we reject God, the morals of our society become lower and lower and eventually non-existent. And the result of that is a reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? And I believe it's summed up right here. "And their foolish heart was darkened." Have you ever heard about somebody or some situation where it says, well, they couldn't pay their light bill and they came and they turned their lights off? You know, if you reject the Lord on and on and on, what eventually happens is God turns the spiritual lights off. And all that is left is darkness. There's no light in there. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I'm telling you, that's serious business when the Lord turns your spiritual lights off and there's nothing left but darkness. When there's nothing left but darkness, oh my goodness, what a terrible position that is to be in. And so even in Darwin's day, there were a lot of people that objected to his material, not just on scientific grounds, but they rejected his writings on moral grounds. They looked at what he was writing, what he was theorizing about, and they said, you know, if you carry this to its logical conclusion, this is going to be a bad outcome. And what they were warning people about, if you followed the teaching of the origin of species, the theory of evolution, I found this sentence in an article I was reading. I thought it was really good. He said the result would be a degeneration in appreciating the value of human life. Let me tell you, that is exactly where we are today in society, in education, in medicine, all across the board, a degeneration in appreciating the value of human life. I read an article. It was called How Darwin's Theory Changed the World. If you can find that, it's a really good article, and it has a lot of things in it. Some of them I'll maybe share a little bit with you today, but I'm going to put it like this. If we had a family tree of evolution, you ever seen maybe even in a Bible, the front of it, there's the family tree. And on that family tree, you put the names of the parents and the children and the grandparents and great-grandparents, and you just go right on down the line. Well, if you had a family tree of evolution and the fruit that it had produced down through the years, what would hang on that tree would really probably surprise you. There's atheism on that tree because that is what is behind it. Let's get rid of God. And man, fallen man, has been trying to do that for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. You can go all the way back into the book of Genesis, and you can see where they built the Tower of Babel, and they said, let us make us a city and a tower and build it unto heaven. Let us do this and us do this. And so man, in his fallen nature, is all about getting rid of God. God makes man very uncomfortable. And when you talk about God and His Word and His laws, man just can't do anything he wants to do. He has to acknowledge the fact that he is a created being. He did not create himself. But atheism, you can hang that on the tree of evolution. Agnosticism, that's what Charles Darwin was. I'm just not going to say if there is or if there isn't. Political groups, fascism, communism, Nazism, Hitler, and the Holocaust. Now, it's very interesting, and I believe there's a book, I think it's called From Darwin to Hitler or From Evolution to Hitler. I would have to look that up. But it lays out the case, and it talks about the German intellectuals and how that they used Darwin's writings to justify their doctrine of killing all the Jews, killing the Polish people, killing the those who were mentally handicapped, killing homosexuals, lesbians, all these. I mean, anybody, any group, you know, they were trying to produce. And Hitler even talked about the super race, you know, that the idea of man would be blonde-headed, blue-eyed, so tall. They were trying to, that's what they were doing to justify, you know, the killing of all these different people groups. And how interesting that is. Hitler was short, and he was black-headed, short and stubby, and, you know, black-headed, and had that little dumb mustache, you know, that he wore. And he didn't look anything like he was, but he convinced, and the leaders of that country convinced a whole nation, you know, this is okay to do. They called it racial hygiene. They were just cleaning up, you know. If it were not for evolution, the teachings of Charles Darwin, that was what they used to justify all the atrocities that went on during the Holocaust. The fruit of evolution that hangs on that tree, one of the fruits, is the Holocaust, the Nazis, and Hitler, and Nazi Germany, and all of that. Now, in America, one of the strongest opponents to Darwin's teachings was a man named William Jennings Bryan. William Jennings Bryan was an anti-evolutionist. He was opposed to the teaching of evolution. And you've probably heard of William Jennings Bryan. He ran for president 3 times. He never won. He was the 41st Secretary of State. He resigned at the beginning of World War I under Woodrow Wilson because he was a pacifist. He didn't believe in war. He was a Democrat. He was a very dedicated Presbyterian elder. He was a prohibitionist, which means that he was actually involved in the prohibition, which was getting rid of alcohol. So he was opposed to the teaching of evolution. In 1920, he gave a speech about the theory of evolution, and he said about the theory of evolution, and he gave this speech to the World Brotherhood Congress, and he said that evolution was the most paralyzing influence with which civilization has had to deal in the last century. Now notice he described it as an influence, not a scientific fact, not anything that was established, but he described it as an influence. And it is an influence, and it has influenced our society probably more than most people even realize. He talked about a man named Nitschke. Now, Nitschke was a proponent of Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, the origin of species. Nitschke was a famous atheist philosopher, and he said about Nitschke, that Nitschke, in carrying the theory of evolution to its logical conclusion, promulgated a philosophy that condemned democracy, denounced Christianity, denied the existence of God, overturned all concepts of morality. Because listen, if you get rid of God, then that turns everything else upside down on its head. All of society is built upon the laws of God. Marriage, thou shalt not kill, stealing. You see what I'm saying? If you get rid of God, then I'm telling you, anything goes. And so William Jennings Bryan recognized this as being very dangerous, that it would overturn all concepts of morality. He said an endeavor to substitute the worship of the superhuman for the worship of Jehovah. And so the worship of the superhuman, that's what I was talking about. The Nazis, they taught, you know, that there was a superior race and that all others, you know, it was okay to just annihilate them, just to get rid of them. And that is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. And that is exactly what has happened in our educational system. That is exactly what is happening in our country in different ways. We can point that out. The worship of God is being replaced by the worship of man. We've said that many, many times in this study, that once upon a time, that education was God-centered, but it became man-centered. Man-centered is humanism. It is evolution. Adam Sedgwick, let me give you this example. Adam Sedgwick was Darwin's mentor. Darwin went to the University of Cambridge, and so Adam Sedgwick was very influential in his life. And when Mr. Sedgwick read The Origin of Species, he wrote a letter to Darwin in 1859. And so there were concerns early on about what the result of this teaching is going to be. And here's what Adam Sedgwick said to Charles Darwin. He said, "Humanity, in my mind, would suffer a damage that might brutalize it and sink the human race into a lower grade of degradation than any into which it has fallen since its written records tell us of its history." And so he said humanity would be brutalized and it would sink the human race into a lower grade of degradation. So the fruit on the tree of evolution not only has things like the growth of communism, Nazism, Hitler, the Holocaust, but the abortion industry in America alone since 1973, over 55 million abortions over the years. That's higher than the population of several states all combined together. Wiped out, murdered, infant, the killing of infants. And so how do you justify that? There's no way to justify that unless you take God out of the equation, unless you degrade the value of human life. And you say, what is that in the womb? Oh, it's just tissue. Oh, they say, you know, well, it's like having a tooth pulled. No, it's not like having a tooth pulled. It's a living, beating with a heartbeat, with DNA, all in all, we could go on and on. We could go about that. It's the taking of an innocent human life. But if you believe in evolution, it's really not that big of a deal. You can put abortion on the family tree of evolution. You can put the eugenics programs. Now, eugenics programs used to be practiced even here in the United States. They certainly had them in Nazi Germany, and even in a few years ago, and probably even now, in North Carolina. North Carolina was being sued because of their part in a eugenics program. Now, what is eugenics? Eugenics is this. It is forced sterilization. If you have a people group, you say, well, they don't need to have children. You sterilize them. If you have somebody that's mentally handicapped, you say, well, they shouldn't have children. You force sterilize them. You're trying to produce people like you would graft apples, and you're messing with things that God never intended for us to be messing with. How would you like the government to come along and say, well, you don't need to have children. You're weak in some way. You have a propensity for some kind of disease. There's something in your DNA, and, you know, we'll just sterilize you. So, you know, the stronger, you know, the survival of the fittest, that's evolution for you. Assisted suicide with euthanasia, unassisted suicide, the killing of old people. And that is happening in other countries, by the way. Infidelity as opposed to marriage and faithfulness to one man and one woman. Once upon a time, you had Creator God. You had purpose and optimism. You had desire to serve others. You had patriotism. But when you see it, when you see the big picture of evolution and how that has influenced our educational system, our young people, our society, that optimism is replaced by hopelessness. You're not a special creation anymore. You're the result of an accident. You have indifference. You have apathy. You have selfishness. Has evolution been good for our children, our schools, our society, our political systems in the world? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. The fruit of evolution is rotten. And morally speaking, we're far worse off than we were once upon a time in our country. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. Thank you for listening. Hope you have a great day. And God bless you is our prayer.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.